Welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collected volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
And this week we read volume 45 of Haikyuu, the final volume of Haikyuu.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to that ending, though, we have others in Shonen Jump because everything is ending.
Yep.
And we're not going to talk about any of them until the Jump Card segment, but it is happening. I think it might be good for all these new series because I think they're going to get longer leases on life with a bunch of older series ending to make room.
Yep.
Hopefully we start getting new stuff, though, because it's already feeling light, and we had One Piece this week and are only one series down.
Yep.
But we will start with a series that hasn't ended quite yet, The Elusive Samurai Chapter 188, Intermission 1343 to 1345. What did you think of Elusive Samurai this week, Kevin?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked the historical, like, speculation of, well, maybe he was a ladies' man, because there's a bunch of people that bear the Hojo last name, which doesn't make sense, because, you know, he was the last, like, official heir, so.
I also like the discussion about the importance of succession in here, mm-hmm. and how, like, actually, it can be practical to have multiple wives, before the whole cast is like, have you considered the Tenchi solution?
Yep. Well, and I also did really like that because they were like, well, a bunch of clans died out because they were faithful to one wife. And then that whole faithful to one person thing is, I'm not going to say a modern thing to deal with, but like.
It is a weird thing. Like, also in Japan, they didn't have Christianity yet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a huge influence on the European monarchy and why that was important then.
Yes.
See all of Game of Thrones for more on why succession is complicated.
Yeah, but they, like, the other big thing is, you know, kids die, disease, war, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, well, if I only have one heir and he gets shot with an arrow.
Sometimes you have girls and the law says only men can inherit.
Yep.
Yeah, I did like that discussion and I like how it dovetails into anime tropes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about it?
Nope.
Next up, we have One Piece chapter 1137, introducing Shamrock. Shanks has a brother. It's official.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Shamrock, I guess.
Yep.
What did you think of this chapter, Kevin?
I thought it was pretty good. I liked Loki.
Loki also has a brother. Sort of. Half brother.
Also liked Loki being like, no, I screw you guys. I ain't joining you. And I liked even them being like, man, he's not giving in. He's like, nope, fuck you.
Burn it to the ground. Plan B. Yeah, other than that, I didn't have much to say about One Piece this week. The Shamrock thing is kind of big, but also just kind of confirming what we've all been speculating for like 3 months now.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how he and Shanks really relate, if they are twins or just brothers that look exactly alike because of manga or what. But yeah, he's here and Luffy's probably going to have to punch him.
Yep.
Next up, we have Sakamoto Days 198, Useful. This at least had a cool fight in contrast to last week. It was more than one cool panel. But every chapter I read of this, Kevin, I'm like, how does he not remember this?
Yeah, it's really dragging the flashback down, just that narrative dissonance of,
like, how had this not come up before?
Yeah. You think Sakamoto would have brought it up earlier, or Shin should have brought it up?
Well, Shin didn't remember this, allegedly, so.
Yeah.
It's just wild. Maybe Shin's going to get hit on the head really, really hard.
Yeah, but,
this.
Sakamoto should have brought it up, you know, unless, like, they're going to come up with some weird reason that Sakamoto doesn't tell him either.
Yeah, of like, I thought they were a different kid who looked exactly like you and could read my mind.
No, I was thinking something along the lines of, he needs to lose these memories so I can't bring them up, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
he's repressing them?
It's like, all right, well, we're going to repress his memories, and I need to honor that.
Well, speaking of repressing memories, that takes us to Kagurabachi chapter 65, Imitate.
Mm-hmm.
I like this chapter a lot more than I've liked Kagurabachi later.
Yeah.
I think because I want this girl to be a character going forward, and I like this choice, and I like the parallel drawn between her and Chihiro.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of all it is. It's just a dilemma. I am interested to see if we're going to see the explanation of her father she gets, or if it's going to be off screen.
Yeah, so I would agree with you. It feels pretty cool, and I'm excited to see. I hope we do get to see it, even if it's not immediately, and not just, you know, next week we switch to, all right, and 3 days later, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of 3 days later, or 3 years later, next we have Akanabanishi Story 143, Very Scary. I rank this pretty high because I really like the craft of it.
Okay.
But the fridge logic is starting to set in of, like, this further makes the Paris adventure feel kind of like it's nothing.
Yeah.
Or just a storage place for her for 3 years, because the implication is she's going back to Japan soon. Maybe we'll see more of her in Paris, and maybe I won't feel this way if we do. But
yeah,
the
no,
setup
I...
definitely seems like she's on her way back, maybe within the next chapter.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're going to see what happened to other characters, and she's going to be back after that.
Yeah, honestly, I think it would have made more sense if she hadn't spent, because what it sounds like now is that she spent those 3 years in Paris.
Yes.
As opposed to spent the last year or the last 6 months in Paris would make a bit more sense, right? You know, like, all right, yeah, I was training with Arakawa. That's his name, right?
I think so.
Whatever. I was training with my new master, and as my last thing, he sent me over here to do Japanese-themed Rakugo in Paris and have it work.
I wonder if it's a thing of he forbid her from doing Rakugo in Japan, and she was like, well, fine then.
That could be exactly that. You're not allowed to do it in Japan. Cool. Just go somewhere else.
Letter of the law, bitch.
Ha-ha!
Yeah, I don't know. I am still interested in it. Like I said, I thought this chapter was really powerful with the story, and I really like the like sort of joke of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of horror and comedy being so twinned together. I enjoy that. But like I said, in the long shot, like when I think about what did this chapter do for Akanabanishi, the answer is not much.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you wanted to say on it?
Nope.
Next, we have Blue Box number 181. Not gonna miss. In contrast to the last couple of chapters of Blue Box, which I've been very critical of, I really liked this one.
Yeah, same.
You've been liking it for a while now, but I really like the just sports manga of it.
Yep.
I like her going back in and Chinatsu still scoring a goal with a basket, I suppose it is basketball, and it being the go-ahead basket with her in there.
Yep.
And all the flashback stuff I thought was really well choreographed in there, really well drawn, even just the panel layout. I really enjoyed the chapter.
Yep. And I also kind of like the implication that even though, yes, she's doing really well as a basketball star, the one place that she is failing is conditioning, because she hadn't done basketball for like 4 or 5 years or something like that beforehand. So it's like, you can't build up that level of conditioning in the like year or whatever that she's been playing basketball again. You know, it takes time to build up back up to that. So she's still a super basketball star, but even the coach being like, if I put you in now, you'll be gassed before the end of the thing. You know it. Just like I know it. That's why you're on the bench.
Anything else you want to say about Blue Box?
Nope.
Next up, we have Himiten Chapter 27, Homemate Kana. I continue to think this is pretty cute. Luckily, it hasn't gone downhill since we started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Imori's mom and her whole vibe of like, yes, I have to set him up with this cute girl. He might never meet another cute girl again.
Not knowing what's going on. Yeah, it's very good because he doesn't talk with his mom. I like his... I'm guessing it's his brother and sister.
Yeah, I assume
so. At the end.
Because we know he has younger siblings.
Yep.
So that they're stuck on an amusement park date together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked that bit too. I also like her being like, ah, oh, yes, I'm the only one his mom knows about. So this is the advantage I have over in the love square.
Yes. I have mom approval.
As if all the other girls wouldn't have it instantly.
It's
not because they are all cute girls.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say about Himiten?
Nope.
Last but not least, we have Sid Craft Case 9, The Formless Fan and Great Detective's Determination. You gotta love them Japanese titles.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Sid Craft this week, Kevin?
I liked it. I liked this introduction of this Moriarty character, Zero Craft.
Exactly what I asked for, and I kind of felt let down by it, if I'm going to be honest. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I do like the idea of us having an arc villain, but I guess I wanted us to go through like an arc that we complete before we go on to a big bad that's going to orchestrate multiple arcs.
Okay, I could see that. Like, you wanted one arc where it's just a case, and then we, even if later on it gets revealed that he masterminded the thing, rather than being immediately introduced to, hey, I'm going to be the villain bringing you cases.
Yeah, also not sure how I feel about them being Gaslight Jigsaw with the phonograph and not appearing. I don't hate that, like, inherently, but I'm not sure how I feel about it. Also felt the Phantom Thief Deus Ex Machina two chapters in a row was a little weak. Fair. I do like her coming in. I don't mind her sort of relationship, but it almost feels like as revenge she should have let him blow up on the boat. I get that she doesn't want to do a murder and she doesn't want to kill him, but it still feels like the move would be like, well, if he's such a great detective, I'll let him get out of it himself.
I like the stuff with the inspector, though.
I did as well.
The kiss.
CPR. It was underwater CPR. Don't get it twisted. There's nothing romantic about it at all.
And then the bit at the end
where she's like, be more confident, you're my husband.
And the two of them who like didn't know what was going on are like, what?
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I just had more criticisms of it than I might have liked than I did in the last chapter, certainly. Speaking of criticisms, that will take us into Jump Card. Jump Card is the segment where we rank everything in Shonen Jump from our least favorite on up. Only 19 this week. What do you have at number 19, Kevin?
That's where I have Mean Robocop.
Same. Unreadable. Trash. Yeah. Get it out of here.
Yep.
What do you have at 18?
That's where I have New Ace.
Fair. It was there for me for a while. I ended up moving it up mostly on the strength of the last panel, which I thought was a good drawing.
That's fair. I was getting confused, and then they're introducing, oh, you're one of these things now. I'm like, please do not throw in random story elements into this already confusing fight.
That's just what New Ace does, man.
I know.
And it's not good, but I've come to accept it. I have Ultimate Exorcist Kyoshi here.
Okay.
Because I really didn't like the like acceleration of, okay, we're going to do a training arc. Now we're doing the final thing. It kind of has that, oh, we might get canceled vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it will or not. It definitely could at this point. But it just seemed like really fast, and I was expecting something else to happen before Doomsday. Because it also feels like, where do you go after that? What do you have at 17?
17 is where I have Shinobi Undercover. I don't really like this new ninja as, like, he's fine as an antagonist.
But you're afraid he's going to stick around, and he probably is.
He probably is, and he shouldn't be an antagonist, if that makes any sense. Like, I've been hired, you know, the Ninja Association is like, put me on this assignment. All right, cool. Why are you being a dick? Like, we're all supposed to be working together, and then, like, Ninja HQ is watching him be a dick, and she'd be like, all right, fucking stop. Why are you just letting this happen?
I also put that higher on art. Mostly just I really like the pill flick panel. I thought
that's
was good.
That is good.
I have Super Psychic Policeman Chojo here just because I didn't think it was funny. Yep. So it can't go high.
It's my number 16. I would agree with you.
That's where I have Astro Royale, which I just found real cliche with the way it ended.
Yeah. And,
it wasn't bad, but like I've seen all of this before.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 15?
15 is where I put Hakutaku. I got confused on like exactly what was going on in Hakutaku.
Everyone's depressed, Kevin. Let me spell it out for you.
I got
what
that
depression
bit.
Looks like.
I meant the guy at the end talking with the main character, because I can't remember anybody's names.
The bully, you mean?
It
was from
he
the first
bully?
Chapter? Yeah, he's the bully from the first chapter who is making him do all the stuff that they made that female lead made him make a game for revenge for.
Gotcha. That probably would have hit better if I remembered that, but I did not.
I did remember that, and like I have it higher, but mostly because I have it above stuff you've already put below it, such as New Ace, which is what I have at 15.
Gotcha.
What do you have at 14?
That's where I have Ultimate Exorcist. I would agree with you. Just, all right, we're into the Black Parade now. That was fucking fast. And like you said, where do we go from here? If you don't get canceled, what else is there? All right, I've killed the Demon Lord.
That's future mangaka's problem,
yes,
to be fair. So, like, that's the sort of energy when I talk about wanting every chapter to feel like it might be the last one. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have Shinobi Undercover at 14.
Gotcha.
What do you have at 13?
That's where I have Kill Blue. Peak.
I like this Ogami as a power-up slash cool. twist. Yeah. It just... It also feels like, oh no, I'm about to get canceled, sort of.
Yeah.
It feels like this series has been in a weird holding pattern where it set up like a weird thing, and then we went on this side mission with the school festival,
mm-hmm.
and then we went to this new character introduction. So to now accelerate feels really strange.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really killing it for me for this chapter. Not that I hate it, but it's definitely extremely weird pacing where it's like, we just introduced a new guy, and now it's like, all right, screw it. We're skipping to the end.
To be fair, I think he's going to fail.
Probably.
I think is where we're going. But that seems like a weird thing to do with your new power-up, so.
Yeah.
I have Hakutaku at 13.
Okay.
What do you have at number 12?
That's where I have Astro Royale.
It's where I have Kill Blue, so.
Gotcha.
What do you have at number 11?
That's where I have Witch Watch.
Same. I think our lists are bisected the same way. Everything above Witch Watch, I really liked. Everything below Witch Watch, I kind of didn't.
Yeah.
Witch Watch has the character I like, and I thought she was cute in it, but like it wasn't anything special.
No, that's exactly how I feel about it.
What do you have at number 10?
That's where I have Undead Unluck. This is a weird ending. It's not bad, but...
I like this as a final chapter a lot. It went pretty high for me. The penultimate chapter really hurt it. As the sort of small flash forward mm-hmm. to happy ending you get in a lot of manga, I liked it. It kind of highlights how Undead Unluck kind of had too many characters at the end with all of the like, here's what they're up to. But it wasn't as bad as Haikyuu, which we read the last chapter of this week.
Yeah.
And also, you do want that for every character.
Yep.
So I don't think they shouldn't have done it. And mm-hmm. the idea that they both forgot the day of their wedding is very funny to me.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
I have Sakamoto Days at 10.
Gotcha.
The fight is cool, but like everything else around it isn't. What do you have at 9?
9 is where I have Ichi the Witch, because I feel like it's not Descartes doing cool stuff, and it's the bad guy being like, all right, well, bye now.
I'll talk about why I liked it when we get to it. I have Sidcraft at 9. Okay. I already talked about my disappointments mm-hmm. with Sidcraft. I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was pretty good, but kind of the lower end of stuff I liked. What do you have at number 8?
That's where I have a kind of Banishi. I really don't have any much else to
no,
say
that's
over
fair.
What happened.
It's where I have Elusive Samurai.
Gotcha.
Because while I liked it and I sung all its praises and like I did really enjoy it, I just thought there was a bunch of good stuff in Jump this week.
Gotcha.
And also it doesn't really forward the plot at all. Mm-hmm. It positions itself to forward the plot, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 7?
7 is where I have Sakamoto Days. Yeah, this flashback just has those problems of, okay, why don't he remember, though?
Yes, exactly. 7's where I have Himaten. It's okay. Cute. I don't have anything else to say about it, critically speaking. What do you have at 6?
6 is where I have Kagurabachi. I think it's cool. I think it's going in a cool direction, and I enjoyed it.
It's where I have Akana Banishi. Like I said, I maybe ranked it too high. A lot of my criticisms are stuff I was thinking of later when I was like, oh, what am I going to say about it, as opposed to when I was reading it and ranked it.
Gotcha.
I did think, like I said, that the Rakugo was really strong, so I don't think I necessarily put it in the wrong spot.
No,
at least
fair.
Not too far off. What do you have at number 5?
5 is where I put the Elusive Samurai. I kind of like the, you know, that historical bit, and then the bit at the end where he's like, could I have 3 wives? Could I get the harem ending? Is that possible?
5 is where I have One Piece.
Okay.
I enjoyed One Piece this week. I think this is the first time that reading One Piece twice has, like, hurt my opinion of it since I started doing that. And it isn't even that bad. It's just that... At the end of the day, all we found out was Harujin is Loki's brother, and Shamrock is Shanks' brother.
Mm-hmm.
One of the part one, interesting, but like kind of unloaded. It doesn't mean anything. It's just like it will come up, I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's important information, but it doesn't excite me. The latter of which is just confirming something we all knew, which is important, but like. I think there are probably One Piece fans who are like, holy shit, Shanks has a brother? But there are also One Piece fans that don't know enough of the lore to even realize this is the reveal that he is Shanks' brother. So it's kind of weird in that sense. It's exciting for me, but also I was pretty sure this was what was going on. Mm-hmm. There, like we talked about, there were possible swerves, some sort of illusion power, some sort of shape-shifting.
A clone.
But this seemed pretty obvious. So it was the most likely situation, mm-hmm. and it's good to have it confirmed, but it doesn't excite me that much.
Fair.
What do you have at number 4?
4 is where I put Sidcraft. I thought it was cute. I like the bits. I like Zerocraft, so
Forest Fire of Undead Unluck. Like I said, I really like this ending. I wish we didn't have the penultimate chapter. This probably wouldn't make sense if we didn't, to be honest. But like I said, that kind of sucked. But just as a final chapter, also Undead Unluck didn't feel like it was ever like wearing out its welcome the way Mission Yozakura did. So that's a like buff it gets just in comparison to another series that ran about as long and just ended.
Yep.
What do you have at number three?
That's Rye of Humaten. I thought it was super cute, and I really liked Imori's family, you know, his mom, his younger brother and his sister, kind of being like, especially at the amusement park, when they're like, so what do you think this girl's going to be like? Ah, oh, she's probably going to be lame. Well, mom said she was cute. Yeah, whatever. And then she shows up, and like, both their jaws are going to hit the floor.
Yeah, I did like that. Three's where I have Ichi the Witch.
Okay.
Kind of for the reason you put it lower. I like that the other witch teams up with the cart and, like, we see their sort of Naruto-Sasuke relationship of things are serious and they can work together. But I also kind of like how, like, we don't see the cart do anything because, like, we it's enough for me. I was talking about how we needed Descartes to do something.
Yep.
This proves, like, where she is in the power scale and where she's supposed to be and continues to make her feel like a legitimate force.
Okay.
While not spoiling what she can actually do and letting us be excited to see it in the future.
I gotcha.
So I actually appreciated that. What do you have at number two?
That's where I have One Piece. I really liked the Loki stuff. Him dealing with the Holy Knights. The Holy Knights? Yeah.
Yep, they're the Holy Knights.
Her being like, all right, you know, my power is the
arrow fruit.
Yeah, but it's like, this is the arrow of destiny. He's like, oh, so you're gonna, you know, kick me in my ribs and then uppercut me in the face. She's like, yeah, but I can change it. He's like, you know, if you just decide to join us, nah, fuck you.
I also love Loki being like, ah, now I know what you're going to do. And her being like, no, this is what will happen, not what I'm going to do. Because that's going to rule when Luffy stops it from happening.
Yes.
Or whoever ends up fighting her.
Yes. These are the arrows of fate. Yeah, cute.
I have Kagurabachi at number two.
Okay.
I really like the tension in this. I really like the parallel stuff. I kind of like the light John Wick influence when they go to this hitman hotel in the underworld.
Yep. But I also did like the bit where they were like, you know, yeah, cool, we're safe here, but there's also only so many safe houses in Japan, so they'll just start looking here. Like,
yeah,
it's not, we'll be able to hide out for a bit here, but it's not like we can just hang out here forever.
Yeah. Also, the fight at the beginning is really cool. I kind of think this is one of the few chapters of Kagurabachi that shows off all the strengths of Kagurabachi without doing something to stab itself in the foot.
Nice.
Yeah. What do you have at number one? It's Blue Box. It was great.
Blue Box was very good.
So speaking of sports manga, we are about to talk about the final volume of Haikyuu, volume 45. We've been reading this for almost 4 years. That sounds insane.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that after our break. So the final volume of Haikyuu, Kevin, I think this is the worst volume of Haikyuu, and that sucks. Like, there's just so many characters I don't care about who get spotlit at the end.
Yeah.
And again, if we were going for more chapters, I would understand that. I would be more okay with it. But I just want to see Hinata and Tobirama really at the end here. And like the actual final chapter, I think, is really good with them in the Olympics together and like getting to play together again.
I think even the penultimate chapter is pretty good because it stops focusing on all of the different character stuff and like just turns into the game of volleyball where they're like pulling cool shit.
Yeah, and I also like the end where Tobirama and Hinata have been like counting their wins the entire time and are like kind of going back and forth on that.
Yep.
It's like, should I count all of my time in Brazil? And Tobirama's like, if you do, I'm counting all my scrimmages. It's very good.
Yep.
Like, yeah, whenever it's just the two of them, I think it really, really works. But so much of this volume is not the two of them.
Yeah, and that does hurt it. But like I was saying, even when it was just like the two teams, like there's a huge section where they're just playing volleyball. It's not focused on the backstory of this character that's on the Black Jackals or I forget the name of Kageyama's team. Adders, maybe?
Yeah, it is the Adders.
you know, and it's just them like it's just the two teams playing volleyball, and there's some really cool shots and cool stuff going on, and like that leads to the moment of Hanada blocks the one cannon shot, and you know they were like, wow, he was so lucky. That was like, and then somebody goes, none of that was luck. Holy crap, that was one of the more amazing plays I've ever seen. He knew where that ball was going to be. He was on the ground, perfectly centered, and like, you know, made that perfect dig.
Yeah, and he didn't take a knee like he would have in high school. His balance is so good, he just kind of hit it up.
Yep. And so I liked those bits, but I agree with you, especially the beginning of this. I'm just kind of like, I don't care.
Yeah, these aren't the characters we've had this whole manga, and they weren't like super interesting antagonists at the time who I wanted to learn more about.
Yep.
And again, if we were going forward with these teams, if there was going to be more Haikyuu with Hinata as a professional player, I would value this as setup for these characters who are going to be important going forward. But even the Bokuto stuff, and like Bokuto is a pretty pivotal character throughout the series, even that stuff just doesn't land for me at all.
Yeah, it's the same for me.
Which is a bummer, because Haikyuu is so good. It doesn't feel like 400 chapters when you're reading it.
No.
45 volumes, that's insane. But it feels like it's a real tight, short series, right? That's about as long as Undead Unluck and
Mission Yuzukura combined.
Mission Yuzukura combined, yeah. Yep. Not quite, but it's close.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we read it, but also it seems like we did come in at exactly the wrong time. And like I said, it makes the whole everything after the high school tournament feel weirdly superfluous.
Yeah.
It all feels kind of like a epilogue, but it's too long to be an epilogue.
Yeah. Again, I think it's, I'm guessing it's the problem of serialized manga.
Yeah, I wonder when he made the decision that he was going to end it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
It could be this was always the plan. It could be this was the plan from the high school tournament, and he just wanted to do more. I really don't know. He just needed a few more chapters to pay off his house. I don't know. Like I said, it kind of sucks to feel that way going out, but it honestly is. I do think, like I said, even like I want the last panel to be them like doing the bro fist at the Olympics too, and the fact that it's not the last panel also kind of sucks, because it sure was in my head. Mm-hmm. When I was reading this, I'm like, okay, I know they're at the Olympics and they do that, but then there's more after, and there's even more like, this is what this person is doing. This is what this person is doing, which like the whole last game had so much of already.
Yep.
Yeah. It sucks to go out that way, but also at least Haikyuu is great as a whole, I can say, even if the ending is a little disappointing.
I feel like a lot of the time, especially serialized manga, they tend to be like, it's very difficult to get a very satisfying conclusion to something that, you know, is like their goal is to go as long as possible, basically. I mean, there's some guys that are like,
that is changing, right? We're in the act of it changing. Both Undead Unluck and Omission Yuzukura, while I don't think they were going to be world beaters ever, felt like they ended when they wanted to, as opposed to when they had to. I don't know if that's true. It could have been editors being like, oh, it seems like this has sort of run its course. You have your anime. Yep. Time to wrap it up. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're getting...
Jujutsu Kaisen and My Hero Academia could have gone twice as long as they did.
Yep.
No problem if the authors wanted that, right?
Yes. And so maybe that is a change, but it's still kind of hard to end those serialized stories. I think some of that is sometimes just hard to get, like, A, it's hard to get a satisfying conclusion for everybody, because maybe the stuff, like... Obviously, you and I are not the fans who were really interested in everybody else, but maybe there's somebody who was like, oh, man, it was so cool seeing what everybody's doing and, you know, all of how that goes. And I'm like, that wasn't me. Maybe it was for them.
I would like to see some Haikyuu discourse about the ending. Like I said, to me, it's just how long the ending is.
Yeah.
Because it feels like Hinata in Brazil is the start of the ending, is honestly how it feels to me.
Yeah.
And lots of series have ending arcs. Dragon Ball ends with the like flash forward to the tournament that Pan is at and the Oob stuff, but that's only a couple of chapters.
Yeah.
And again, that feels like, okay, like the boost, like my last story is over and now I have to cap it with an epilogue and I'll show what everyone's doing. And I think that's fine. The Olympics chapter is that though. And so all the stuff up to it, I don't know. I guess it's Hinata gets into the pros and that's cool. But it's also weird that we cut from his first year of high school to him in the pros, kind of.
Basically. Yeah, it makes me think of the 80s movie thing where they have at the end of the movie, like, what the people are doing.
Yeah, in the credits or right
in
before
the
it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't mind that at all.
Well, the thing is, this feels like that segment was 20 minutes as opposed to five, where it's like everybody get like, Animal House, they get like two lines.
Let's take the metaphor further, Kevin. It feels like they released a sequel that is just this credit sequence.
Fair.
Of everyone, where everyone ended up. It's like a Lord of the Rings ending, but if they're like, this ending's going to get a little long. This series is really popular. Let's make it the fourth movie, Lord of the Rings, where they are now.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it feels. So I think if it had been a bit shorter, if we didn't have the Black Jackals game like interspersed with where everyone is now, if we had just kind of like done a where is everyone now, I realize that's a lot of characters to bring up, and I don't know how you do that correctly, but that's kind of what does it for me for this final volume. Again, not saying that I didn't absolutely love Haikyuu and think it's a great series, even with the ending feeling a little weird. We're just being critical of, well, the ending was a little weird.
Yeah, overall, though, a fantastic series. I'm really glad we read it. It greatly improved my opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to say about Haikyuu, Kevin?
Nope.
All right. We will have to figure out what we're going to read monthly to replace that. I have some ideas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Kevin does. But for next week, we are going to read JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Part 2, Battle Tendency, Volume 3.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions. And our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out all 45 of our episodes on Haikyuu,
mm-hmm.
as well as my other two podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. Is there anything you would like to plug, Kevin?
Nope.
Have a good week, everybody. Gotta stop, don't you know, subliminal.